What's up, Hyperfast Nation? On this episode of the show, we are going to take a deep dive into the 12 steps that you should present to your buyer clients for crafting a winning offer. Stand by for the next episode of the Hyperfast Show. All right, welcome back to the Hyperfast Agent Show. Today we're going over a 12-step framework. It is not a 12-step framework for recovery or anything like that. It is 12 steps for helping buyers craft winning offers. And in a world where we are seeing more and more competition and, you know, higher interest rates, lower inventory, these can really make the difference sometimes in, you know, winning an offer, winning with sometimes without being the highest price. So, you know, it's a framework that Carrie Scholl, many years ago, over a decade ago. It's helped close thousands and thousands of, you know, deals, transactions, as many, you know, as almost 1,200 in 1 year, right? So this is a framework that we've not only used on our own real estate team, but we've coached real estate agents all around the world. Lots of big teams, and you know, lots of people actually got it as part of our course, our buyer agent course, which, by the way, a lot of what we've put out in that course, Master the Buyer Game, we have done in previous episodes on the Hyperfast show. So if you're on iTunes, on YouTube, and you go back to, I believe they came out in August of 2023. You go back to the episodes around that time frame, you'll see a huge long series. It was like 8 or 9 or 10, I forget how many episodes on Master the Buyer Game. So go back and look at that. And today, we're going to take a deep dive into this 12-step framework, right? Because the moral of it is, right, if your buyers compete on price and don't look at, you know, just kind of pick the standard quote unquote terms of an offer or what's in the contract, then they only have one thing to compete on, price. So it means they've got to be the highest and, you know, pay the most that the seller is, you know, in order to get the deal. And you want to educate your buyers on this up front in the first meeting, right? You really need to use that first meeting to present your value, present your process, and present how you're going to help them find and get the best home for them. So let's look into the 12 things that the buyers need to look at. All right, first one is closing date, right? The biggest piece of advice here is to, you know, confirm with the listing agent what the perfect date is for the seller. And, you know, hopefully your buyers are in a flexible position, able to match that. You know, there's going to be some cases where the seller is like looking for a new home or has something new construction or, you know, whatever, and they need more time. But in most cases, closing faster is what they want. And that's going to get you the best possible deal. So set your buyers up early with lender financing, or if you're using cash, you know, have that all ready so that they can go quick if needed. Right. But line it up with what the seller wants. Okay. And get pre-approved up front with your buyer or with your lender, and you know, in case they need to go fast. All right, decision number two, post-settlement occupancy. A lot of times sellers need funds from their house to close on the next, or they haven't decided, you know, on the next place. So if you can give them even a week, if it's a closing, or 30 days looking for a new place, right? You're gonna get better terms on the offer. So if your buyers know in advance and can put themselves in a place where they can close on the house, let the seller stay there for however much time they need, right? If there's a loan on it, you know, typically you can't let them stay more than 60 days. But a lot of times 30 days or even 2 weeks will make a big difference, and it'll help you get the offer accepted at a better price. Decision number three is the EMD, all right, the earnest money deposit. This is money you put down, and it's a sign of good faith. It's a sign that you're serious. It is money that is at risk if you default, right? If you get out of the contract for terms and contingencies that you are allowed to have, that money is not at risk. We've had out of thousands and thousands of deals, we've had very few where the buyers ever had an issue with their EMD, right? Because most people go ahead with the purchase and don't default. But the more money you can put up, the better price you're going to get. And in many cases, going from 3% to 5% or 10% EMD, like it's money that you're going to put down at closing anyway. And a lot of times that will help you either win out in competitive situations or get a better price if it's not at a competitive situation. So, and again, these are all things, the more time you give your sellers, your potential buyers, I mean, to think about it, right? The more comfortable they will be with doing things that will get them a better deal. So this is just things you want to educate them upfront on. Number four, the lender and title company. You really want to have a good lender, a good title company that are, known entities, known in your market, that you'll be able to sell to the listing agent as people that will get the job done, right? And you want to make sure that the buyer's in contact with the lender well in advance and fully approved. All right, decision number five, the type of financing. The strongest financing that you can qualify for is gonna be the best, and usually that's conventional financing with 25% down. However, I do realize not every buyer is gonna be able to do that, right? Especially with the prices today. So, non-conforming conventional loans with less than 20% down, FHA, VA, right? These are all loans that can definitely work. All things being said, if a seller had an FHA and a conventional with 25% down, and all terms are same, most likely they're going to pick the conventional, right? So decide on how you can position yourself best with financing up front and the strongest one that you can qualify and execute on, right? That's the one you're going to want to present in your offer. Now you can of course use alternate financing. So most contracts allow you to go from like a 20% down to 10% or to VA, right? You just have to know that if you can't close because you tried to switch, that could be an issue. But figure out the financing early on and present the one that you're able to do that makes your offer the strongest. Decision number six, down payments, right? We won't spend too much time on this. Bigger is better. So the more you can do, the better your offer is going to look. Number seven, seller subsidy, which with the NAR settlement, we'll probably be hearing more about this. But you can of course go up in price and then reduce that by a subsidy, right? Well, the more you do that, more money the seller loses compared to if it was just lower by the amount of the subsidy, because typically the seller is paying a percentage on commissions and on taxes, on the sales price. So, 510 with a 10K subsidy usually means less money in the seller's pocket than 500, right? And again, I know some buyers are going to need subsidies. So if you need it, fine. But just know if there's a way for you to do lower price, less subsidy, that's going to make your offer stronger. All right. Decision number eight, are you going to put in a financing contingency, right? This gives you the ability to get out of the contract if there's an issue with financing. You've got two choices as a buyer, right? How to use the financing contingency strategy to make your offer stronger. One is to go shorter. Most people go 3 weeks, 30 days. If you can work with a lender that will get the appraisals done quickly and you're pre-approved, and you can go a week, 10 days, right? That'll give you an advantage over someone that has a 3 week financing contingency. Number two, you can eliminate it, if you're fully approved and comfortable doing that and comfortable with the risk of your EMD. But these are things, again, will make your offer stronger, help you get the home at a lower price potentially. Number nine, the appraisal contingency is kind of similar to the financing contingency, but if it comes in low or the lender requires repairs, right, you have the right to renegotiate or cancel if you don't reach a new agreement. Again, a couple different options here, right? You can shorten it, okay? Most people go with 21 days. I don't know where they get that from, but a lot of lenders can get the appraisals done 14 or 10 and or even 7. So you can shorten it. You can limit the amount of shortfall that you will cover. So maybe you don't want to completely eliminate the appraisal contingency, but you'll say you'll cover the first $10,000 of deficiency. Or three, you can decide not to put it in at all. Low appraisals too, by the way, are rare, right? Especially if if you're doing a good job as an agent and getting your buyers the right comps to look at, and they're rare, right? Because if there are multiple offers, appraisers take that into account, and they do happen. And if you can either shorten the time or have the kind of the limit of the amount that your buyer will cover, or eliminate it altogether, right? Because if you're, again, it'll depend on your type of offer. If you're 100% financing, like FHA, VA, low appraisal is a harder issue to deal with. If you're 20% down and it comes in low, well, you can just switch to a 15% or 10% down loan and go that route. And with all of these, by the way, the more you educate your buyer on these upfront, the better they're gonna position they'll be in, because they're not making the decision at the point of sale. They're thinking about all these things before they get emotionally attached to a house. Decision number 10, the home inspection. A couple options, right? One, you can eliminate it altogether. You can do a pre-inspection where you kind of do like a, you schedule an hour-long showing, and they call it a walking home inspection, or a walk and talk. You can shorten the time frame. Like, so instead of a 7 day, you do a 24-hour or a 3 day. If you're doing 24-hour or 3 day, make sure you have some really good home inspectors that you've worked with before on speed dial, right? You can make it informational only. So you tell the seller, like, yeah, we're gonna do the inspection, but we're not gonna come back and ask you for $500 of repairs or $1,000 of repairs. It's gonna be a go no go type of decision. Number 11, the home sale contingency. This applies to move up buyers, right? If you own a home and you need to sell it, you've got a decision to make, right? Do you try to sell it ahead of time and then go find your house once it's under contract? Or do you, find your house, then get under contract, have a home sale contingency? Well, this gives you the right to get out of the deal if you can't sell your home. The problem is sellers really don't like it, especially if it's competing. So, couple options around this. One is to, work with lenders that can use the equity in your house and do bridge loans, or creative financing that will qualify you for both, so that you could close on the new home and then sell your existing one after. If you do have to go, if this is the only way, right? If you can't qualify and you don't want to sell your home first, and it's the only way you can do it, just realize it does put you at a disadvantage. So look for the bridge loans, look for the equity lines, or as a real estate agent, you can offer a guaranteed sale program. I'm going to do another podcast where I go into that. I've also done a course on that, which you can find at hyperfastagent.com. And the last decision is the purchase price, right? So if you structure these first 11 decisions correctly, right, you'll maximize the how your offer looks on the term, so then you can get it for a minimal price, right? Or you can, many times we've won out on offers and not been the highest because of how our terms are. So, sellers don't look just at the price. They also look at the terms. So hopefully that helped you guys, you buyer agents out there, or people that are working with buyers. I think, more than ever, with the changes coming up on the buyer side of our industry, You need to get really good at your buyer process, how you present things to your buyer clients, and just the value that you demonstrate and show them up front so that you can command loyalty, that you can justify your fees and get agreement signed up front. All right, if you are a real estate agent looking for a way to sell more homes, keep more of your commission, and build recurring revenue, Carrie and I would love to chat with you about eXp Realty and partnering with us there. We will show you how to sell more homes, keep more commission, build recurring revenue. We'll show you a proven path to getting to $50,000 or more a month in recurring revenue within 5 years. We'll show you how to not just sell homes, but to have multiple streams of income. And we'll give you a ton of coaching and training and tools to get there. All you need to do is pick up your cell phone, send me a text message, 703-638-4393. Again, it's 703-638-4393. I would love to have that discussion with you. Everyone else, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the HyperFast Show. I hope you got a ton of value out of it. Please leave us a review on iTunes, share this with other real estate agents, and we will see you next time.